Straighten your shoulders. You're too hunched. The universe has to feel your confidence. You need to set your intention and then follow through. Sitting cross-legged inside the chalk circle, I squared my shoulders and prepared to try again.
I practiced this for hours yesterday.
And you'll practice it again every day this week until you've perfected it. My mother stooped over the chalk circle to look me in the eye. You are a very special girl, London. The upside of that is you've been blessed with many gifts. The downside is you have to work harder than everybody you know to control them, so they don't control you.
What's the point of all these gifts if I have to hide them?
I sulked. You want to live, don't you? I glared at her.
If I'm in so much danger because of what I am, why give birth to me at all?
She booped my nose. Because you are the living embodiment of love, young lady.
Sounds selfish to me.
She resumed an upright position. Perhaps it was, but the decision was made and here you are. She squeezed my left shoulder. Now try again, London. Try as though your life depends on it, because one day it just might. I concentrated on the black spot in my mind. My mother had noticed signs of a summoning ability and wanted to test her theory. She'd explained the power and how it worked. I was eager to try because portals and alternate planes sounded fascinating. My mother's reasoning was more practical. She thought it might provide a safe space for me to hide where no one could reach me. A panic room for emergencies until the threat passed. I strained until it felt like every bone in my body might break. The effort was too much. Blood trickled from my left nostril and I collapsed on my side. I struggled to stay conscious, but my body betrayed me. A firm hand shook me awake. Time to try again, London. I groaned.
No, no more.
There's always more, my sweet. More to learn, more to master. If you think life is hard now, wait until you're older. I opened my eyes and fixed them on her. Although I'd been raised in a world of darkness, as far as I was concerned, the sun rose and set on Rhea Hayes. Time to get up, she said, this time more firmly. Now. I opened my eyes and stared at the high ceiling. It was time to get up. I rolled off the mattress and stood to stretch. Just because I was a prisoner didn't mean I curled into a ball and gave up. I was keeping myself sharp, seeking out opportunities to overtake my captors and escape. Even without magic, I was strong, fast, and, most importantly, resourceful. My mother had trained me well. If she didn't personally possess an ability, she either researched it or found someone who did. That someone had to be discreet and also willing to train a child who shouldn't be able to do the advanced level of magic that required expert assistance. A child who shouldn't exist. Despite her understanding of the world, my mother couldn't have foreseen that I'd one day be imprisoned in a tower in the castle of House Duncan, courtesy of King Glendon. A tower that was designed to be a magic-free zone for prisoners like me. I thought back to my lessons and tried to pinpoint one that might aid my escape. The panic room later became the holiday home for the menagerie, the group of animals that shared my flat. As I was the only one who could access the pocket dimension, it now served as the hiding place for two of the world's most powerful stones, the Elemental Stone and the Transcendence Stone. Unfortunately, I couldn't access my safe space from here. No magic meant no portal to another plane of existence. Try as I might, I came up empty. This wasn't my first experience with captivity. Growing up in the tunnels beneath Britannia City had been its own kind of confinement.